Hello everybody, this is Adeyinka Black from Affine Creatives & Co. and you're listening to the TLBS podcast. All we do on this space is turn every real and abstract thing into great conversations. And I know you probably must have heard this from a lot of podcasters or a lot of podcast platforms, but what we try to do and make this so unique is the fact that we try to tell stories in our own unique way and sort of make our audience so engrossed in the experience we try to portray to them. Now, a couple of months back, we started the Toxic series. And if you're not aware what that is, what we tried to do in the Toxic series was that we tried to tell stories, people's stories of toxic events, and try to lend out our voice on what we think about it and let the conversation continue on all our social media platforms. And for those who are not aware that we have social media platforms, which is quite obvious that we do, you can always connect with us, and you can do that right now while listening to this podcast. You can go to Twitter at TLBS_, on Instagram at the_Lumi_and_Black_show, the Lumi and Black Show. And if you want to connect with me personally on all my social media platforms, you can always do that on Twitter at Adeyinka_Black, on Instagram, Adeyinka_Black. We can always get talking. So back to the Toxic series. So I'm just going to do a quick recap on the Toxic series, because today is our final episode of the Toxic series. So the first Toxic series we had was It sounds like a toxic episode, but anyways, so the first Toxic series episode we had was toxicity in families. So it was about Favor, who had a toxic relationship with his parents, and the title is My Parents Ruined My Life. The second one we had was toxic relationships, toxic romantic relationships, till death do us part. It was between a lover and a husband, tragic story. You can always check that out on our podcast list or podcast playlist. The most recent before this is Loss of My Life, LOML. And that one really got me, because it was so intense and very toxic. It ended terribly bad. But today we're about to give you something that's so intriguing and something that's so captivating. And I do not want you to touch that dial or go anywhere, because you're in for something that's going to blow your mind. This story is quite captivating, and the narration is just so blissful. For those who have always been asking, are the stories real? Yeah, they are real stories. But the thing is, we try to, for the sake of keeping the identities of the real story owners, we have narrators, in-house narrators, who narrate the stories to give it this, let me say secretive view, so that you do not know who the real owners are, and just to keep everyone safe. Okay, so we're going to get straight into it without wasting so much of our time. And yeah, Toxic series, the final episode, femme fatale. For those who don't know what that means, that is French, which means obviously fatal woman or destructive woman. But anyways, yeah, get straight into it. I'll be here after this recording. I am Adeyinka Black, and yeah, don't go anywhere.
There's this perception that women get used by men, and it isn't fair. I think it is human nature to use and be used. You just have to choose if you want to be used or be the user. I decided a long time ago, when climbing up the corporate ladder, that I was going to be the user. Now, before you judge me, I'd like to say that I've had my own fair share of being used, so it's rather fair to use men when you finally get the baton. My name is Coco, and I love the Coco, like the band song says. I'm not ashamed to say this, because unlike most women that I'm not, I'm blunt, raw, and I certainly get what I want, when I want, and definitely how I want it. This is my story. As a child, I always saw myself wanting to manage a corporation and heading it. I liked the way female bosses in Nollywood walked and carried their shoulders. They looked so in charge, they must have felt like it. I also liked the way they ordered the men beneath them around. Compared to homes in Africa, the men think they should always be in charge, but I beg to differ. I remember in university, I always wondered why there weren't many female lecturers in charge, and I think to an extent, it gave the male lecturers the audacity to ask sex for grades. All those disgusting moments I had to cheaply give myself to those old forsaken men. The thought of it sometimes makes me itch. Fast forward to when I got into a multicultural corporation where I had bosses from diverse parts of the world. You know, this was really an eye-opener for me. It made me understand the gravity of being the used or the user in any given situation. It was like playing chess. Everyone was secretly trying to corner a king and scream, "Checkmate!" I was eating up from like an unending ice cream machine over and again just so I can get to the position I now hold. I mean, being smart wasn't enough. You had to bring the flesh to the table. The only thing is that you have to shine your eyes like Lagos, Nigeria in order to know whether or not whoever is using you is going to be the ladder to climb up to the top. You see, like I said, everyone is out for themselves, whether they can help push you or not. It took a long time for me to know that out of the 12 men who were consuming my flesh, only 2 were capable of giving me what I truly wanted. And so, the minute I got into the position I'm now in, the roles reversed. And oh, am I glad they did. You know, I get to be the user. I get the men I want, sometimes women for threesomes, just to add a little spice to it. Before any male figure can even think of trying to climb up a ladder, he must have donated his flesh several times to me and sometimes to whoever I want. What I particularly find interesting about being the user is when bright young men come looking for jobs in my organization. There's usually so many men in different flavors to pick from. It gives me the tingles. They're usually fresh and willing to be subdued. I like to think that men love women in charge, and so, you know, they jump at every opportunity to be dominated, which makes the bargaining process easy for me. There's even this special one I recently gave a job to. He knows how to treat a woman right. Apart from donating his flesh, which he does even when I don't even ask, he's hardworking, smart, and knows where and when to draw the line. I see Akin getting 2 promotions this year if he keeps it up. To be honest, my experience as the user, the one in charge, especially in a working environment, is bliss. It's so great, I don't even see myself getting married at all.
Now, I know you're probably going to ask the same question I'm asking right now, when the story came in. Where is the other half of the story? Because how do you end the story that way? I know, I get. So just, I'm speechless myself. You know, this story got me in an ellipsis. But we're just going to talk about the whole toxic work environment and, you know, a couple of things we should know about toxicity in the workplace. And the first thing that I believe to define or to get straight is, what is a toxic boss? Now, the one thing all toxic bosses have in common is their attitude, and most times they're bullies. They're always driven and they drive others relentlessly without regard for individuals, you know, because most times they just want to get things done, and, you know, it's just their style. Working for them is, you know, twice as stressful as working for anyone. Toxic bosses are usually very, very smart people. That's something you should understand. And because they're smarter than some people, they tend to be impatient with, you know, all that slowness and stupidity, in quotes, yeah? You know, they tend to take out their frustration, irritation on people around them. And also, some very smart people like this can still lack emotional intelligence. You know, they're oblivious about they're oblivious to the impact that they have to people around them. And it's one of the things you should know about this, because so many people do not know they are working with toxic bosses, and they feel it's just, you know, maybe part of the whole work routine and all of those things. But I'm just trying to like point out some of the things, you know, you should take note of when working with a toxic boss. Now, for the sake of this episode, we have seen a couple of things with Coco and how she's been able to handle people. But I'd just like to chip in some of the things I think you can do, you know, to handle toxic bosses. So before doing anything else, take some time to analyze the situation. Ask questions like, are you alone in feeling like this boss is out of line? You know, what do your peers think of the situation? Has anyone else complained formally or informally? Is management above your boss aware of his or her attitude? Is your boss's attitude isolated to a small group of people? You know, just try to understand what is driving the group. Do you have similar roles or characteristics that explain being singled out? You know, basically, that's like the first thing, the first step you should do, analyze the situation. Another thing I feel you should do is document everything. Take note of specific incidents in detail. If you, you know, if you go so far as to leave the company, you may need to justify that you left under duress. You know, if you're brave enough, you can file a complaint to HR or your second line management. If you decide to formally discuss the situation with someone in your organization, you know, you need to prepare thoroughly for that. And part of your preparation should be ensuring that you are laser focused on facts and not emotions. That's quite important, because if you cried after a discussion with your boss, take note of the exact words of, you know, the exact words used and what happened. You know, unfortunately, tears are not proof. You know, it's just one, you know, unsaid law about the work environment. Another thing I feel you should note is if your colleagues feel the same situation is unjustified, encourage them also to document, you know, specifics too. You know, it further buttresses your point. Another thing I feel you can also do is to focus on the words and not the tone. Focus on words and not the tone and insult when your boss is talking to you, because sometimes, you know, they may actually have a valid complaint. You don't want to lump everything into a bucket you then ignore. You know, do everything you can to stay calm. You don't want a toxic individual to make you toxic in return, because that's not the goal. The goal is actually to identify if these people are actually toxic, or they're actually just, you know, making a valid claim to whatever form of incompetence you might be, you know, displaying in your workplace. And if you are getting yelled at and feel unable to respond calmly, take a deep breath. It's quite important. And ask yourself a question. You know, our brains go into fight many of the time. Our brains go into fight or flight mode when we feel threatened. So asking yourself a question can get you back into the thinking part of your brain. So like, just take a deep breath and try to analyze the whole thing, which I made mention the first time. So another thing I feel like everyone should understand about toxic relationships or toxic workspaces is, you know, batten down your social hatches. You know, if you're working for someone who makes you feel terrible about yourself, you need to find other people who will help you remind you of your worthiness, so to speak. You know, that could be your family, it could be peers in the same team or organization, or it could be other friends outside the workplace. You know, make a conscious effort every day to remind yourself of the positive things you've accomplished. Consciously create an alternative story to the one which is coming from, you know, your boss. Work with others around you to reinforce that positive impression. Okay, that helps. And I'm just going to list out a couple of things, because I saw some of this key points from a site called Elevate. You know, it helps with handling work boss employee employer, you know, situations, and handling, you know, a couple of, you know, interpersonal relationships between, you know, in the workspace generally. So another thing is I was able to identify the fact that you need to take action to strive to keep a positive mindset in the midst of that negative atmosphere. You know, you probably, you know, be thinking lots of negative thoughts and those can be highly impacted on your emotions. You know, you need to learn how to intercept unproductive negative thoughts and how to identify what a negative emotion is trying to tell you. Focus on what you can do to bounce back, you know, when you're taking, you know, an emotional hit, so to speak. You know, and I think this helps, because, you know, it helps water down the whole negativity and toxicity around your workplace. Another thing, which is the most important for me, is to plan your exit. You know, you knowing that you are working towards a solution can help you be more patient in the face of a day-to-day frustration. And finally, which is quite also important, I feel like maybe it's most important of them all, is to take care of yourself. You need to acknowledge that you're experiencing emotional distress on a regular basis, and that this takes a toll on you, both physically and mentally. Okay, be careful to avoid the type of the type A reaction of the working harder and longer to try to satisfy someone who would never be satisfied. Just understand that sometimes it is, you know, the right thing to work harder and longer, but if you're working for a toxic boss, you're going to burn yourself out and they will never still be satisfied. So there is no magic wand. This is hard, but you can survive. You can learn and become stronger. Don't lose hope. Fight back the best way you can by managing your own attitude and your own actions. And with all of this point, I believe we've been able to, you know, strike a few chords in our mental state about toxicity in the workplace. I need to understand, you know, a couple of things about working with toxic bosses. And with all of this said, I believe, you know, we've been able to, you know, address a few things about toxic relationships and toxic workplaces. But we can always continue the conversations, and you can always share your points, and, you know, let's get talking, let's interact, let me know what you think about this whole toxic, you know, workplace. And if also you have something to share about all our previous toxic episodes, do let us know and let us get talking on social media. I'm going to call out the social media platforms you can engage on for TLBS. It is on Twitter at TLBS_ and Instagram it is the_Lumi_and_black_show. And for my personal account on Twitter, it is @Deyinka_black. On Instagram, it is @Deyinka_black. Yeah, I am @Deyinka_black from Affin Creators & Co. on TLBS Podcast. And trust me, it's been an amazing time. I've had so much fun talking to you guys. Please do not forget to stay safe. Be the best person you can be. Try to improve other people, you know, and try to, you know, become more expressive about your gifts and, you know, talents. It's your time to shine. It's your time to become the best person God has designed you to be. Remember, God loves you, and take care of yourself, take care of your family. On this note, I'm going to say bye until we meet again on our next podcast episode. Please make sure you stay safe. I know I'm saying this, stay safe. Do not go to places you're not supposed to be. No good at gay house, go to do another thing. Yeah, no good at guy house, go to do another thing. God, they watch you. If you do any other thing, now you go carry up. So with that being said, I'm just gonna sign out and say, yeah, stay safe. Thank you for being so much. Thank you for being so so much of an amazing audience to us. We're grateful and we love you. So bye.